Thank you and good morning. Welcome to our program. It is a pleasure of ours once again to come to you with a study of the Word of God. There was a young man who became addicted to drugs. Over a period of time, he hit rock bottom and his life was a mess. His family, who were Christians, and the church with whom they attended, thought surely now he will come back to the Lord. The preacher went to him and talked with him, and his response was, "I know what you're trying to do, and I appreciate it, but I want you to know that you can't tell me anything I don't already know. I know what is right. I know what I am doing is wrong. I just don't want to change." This young man lacked motivation. A young woman was involved in a relationship that she did not have a scriptural right to be in. As she talked about this matter with a preacher, the woman's reply over and over again was, "I know the relationship I am in is wrong. You don't have to tell me it is wrong, I know. But I want you to know, I don't want to change. I will not leave him." Notice first that both of these sinners know what God's will is in their situation. The problem is not ignorance of the truth. The problem is they do not have the motivation to do what they know. They don't see a real reason to change. And secondly, I want us to notice they do not want to change because change would be too painful in the present. Well, today I want to talk about motivation. Why would a person go through the pain of changing their lives to be a Christian? What would motivate them to do that? Well, the Lord has given us ample motivation to change our lives in order to serve Him. There is the fear motive, there is the hope motive, and there is the love motive. Well, first of all, let's talk about the fear motive. The fear of hell motivates us to change and obey the Lord. This motivation is presented in Scripture. In Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Jesus said in Mark 9, verses 43 and 44, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Sin will send us to hell. Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now this is eternal death, eternal separation from God in hell. Hell is described in Scripture as everlasting fire, Matthew 25, 41. Fire that shall never be quenched, as we read here in Mark 9, verse 44. It is described as outer darkness and a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25, verse 30. Sometimes the question is asked, is hell a place of literal fire? Well, probably not fire as we know it. But we can be assured that whatever it is, hell is a place of suffering and unbearable pain. This is the picture that fire conveys to our minds, and that the Lord intended to convey. The tremendous suffering and hurt of the flames of fire is indescribable, and yet this is what our Lord says hell is like. We cannot afford to go to hell. And hell is a place where the devil and his angels will be cast, and where God will not be. In the judgment, Jesus will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25, verse 41. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, that those who know not God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. God will not be there. God's goodness will not be there. God's love will not be there. Those in hell may cry out to God, but God will not hear, and that forever. Dear listener, have you ever tried to visualize just what it will mean to be eternally separated from God? Well, that is hell. Now, someone might be thinking, how can a loving God send anyone to hell as it is described in these passages. Well, hell does not tell us how unloving and terrible God is, but it tells us how terrible sin is. You see, hell is the just punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. God is a just God, and justice demands that sinful man be punished in hell. But God does not want us to go to hell. He loves us so much that He provided a way whereby we can be free from sin and escape the punishment of hell. He sent His Son to die for us, John 3 and verse 16. But in order for us to be free from sin by the death of Christ and escape the horrors of hell, we must come to Jesus and give our lives to Him. We must obey Him. Hebrews 5 verses 8 and 9 says that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Now, sometimes obeying Jesus is painful. Obeying Jesus involves denying self. Well, why would I deny myself to obey Jesus? Well, the fear of hell motivates me to do that. Let me illustrate. If I was convinced that in 1 hour, 10 men would come to my home and take me and tie me to a stake in front of my house and burn me at the stake, do you think I would stay at my house and do nothing? No, I would act. I would get in my car and travel as far away from here as I possibly could where they could not find me. Now, leaving my house and belongings behind may be very unpleasant, but if I was convinced they were coming, no question about it, I would do what it took to escape such torture. Well, the Bible teaches that the just punishment for sin is hell, and those who do not obey the Lord are those who will remain in their sins, and they will go to hell. Here the Bible places before us the fear of hell to motivate us to obey the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, there are those who know God has said in the Bible some hard things about people being cast into hell, but they believe that when it all comes down to it, everyone is going to be saved and go to heaven. They just cannot conceive of this talk of hell and this talk of judgment all bearing out in the end. Well, the result is the God they believe in is a weak and compromising God. Yes, He talks harsh about judgment on those who rebel against Him, but He will not follow through. Well, Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." The fact is, the words of God, whether they be of salvation or of judgment, they are consistent and they are solid as a rock. God means what He says. There is a hell, and those who disobey Jesus will end up there. That motivates me to make whatever sacrifices I need to make to obey Jesus and be saved. And then secondly, I want to briefly mention the hope of heaven as a motivation to serve the Lord. You know, I don't want to go to hell, but I do want to go to heaven to be with God. God promises us eternal life in heaven with Him, a place where there will be no death, no pain and sorrow, no tears, no sin, a place where we will be able to worship and serve God for all eternity with all the righteous of all the ages. I want to go to heaven. But to get to heaven, I must commit my life to serving the Lord Jesus. The desire to go to heaven motivates me to experience whatever pain there is to serve and please the Lord. You want motivation to obey the Lord? The hope of heaven will provide you with that motivation. But then thirdly, there is the love motive. When I come to realize the greatness of God's love for me, that motivates within my heart a love for Him. As we have already mentioned, man's sins are the reason he is doomed to hell. But God does not want man to go to hell. God loves man. God wants to forgive man of his sins. But how can God forgive us of our sins and be just in doing it? You see, justice demands that the sinner be punished. when law is transgressed, justice demands that the transgressor pay for his crimes. Well, the only way God could be just in forgiving man of his sins, the transgressions of his law, is for the penalty for sin to be paid. If the price for sin could be paid, then God could be just in forgiving us of our sins. Well, man is not capable of paying that price himself. The only one who could do that was the sinless Son of God. The only way God could forgive man of his sins is for his Son to come to this earth and be a sacrifice for man's sins. And that is what happened. Jesus came and died for us. In his death on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins, thus satisfying the demands of justice and making it possible for God to forgive us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. Now, Jesus' death was not a peaceful passing in his sleep. Jesus was crucified for us. He died on a Roman cross for our sins. Wayne Grayson says, and I quote, "The cross was a cruel, vicious, and bloody instrument of torture and execution for only the worst criminals. The Romans considered crucifixion so horrible that Roman citizens were exempt from death by crucifixion if convicted of a capital offense, except for treason." End of quote. Well, Jesus was willing to experience such a death for us because he loved us. He loved us so much that he died for us even when we were sinners. Paul said again in Romans 5, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Paul says that someone scarcely, hardly, will die for the righteous man. Others may be bold enough, courageous enough to die for a good man. But you see, the truth is, we were neither righteous nor good. The text says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us even though we stood in rebellion to him. We were sinners, but God still loved us. God loves you and he wants to forgive you of your sins. Why would I continue to stand in rebellion to a God who loves me so? Such a love motivates me to love him. It motivates me to go through whatever pain there may be in changing my life so that I can please him. This is the love motive. Paul said in Romans 2 and verse 4, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" You want motivation to change your life to please God? Then consider God's love, God's goodness. If that doesn't motivate you to obey him, I don't know what will. Well, the young man given to drugs and the young lady in an illicit relationship both knew what they needed to do to please God. But they did not want to go through the pain of giving up their sinful ways. They lacked motivation. But God has provided real motivation to come to him and obey him: the fear of hell, the hope of heaven, and the love of God. You want motivation? It doesn't get any better than this.